other banks go out of their way to make redeeming credit card rewards needlessly complicated. But Discover isn't like that. With Discover, you can redeem your rewards for cash in any amount, at any time.
Say anything, do not be afraid. You made me in your Well, good afternoon. I almost said good morning. Right, good evening. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. And we welcome you to stand with us as we get ready to worship God tonight. How many came expecting something from God today? That's it, just a few? How many came expecting from God? Well, if you came expecting from God, you better praise Him like you're gonna get that answer tonight. Okay? You better give him glory tonight like you know it. Come on. So the first song we're gonna raise a hallelujah. You ready? Put your hands together. Come on, let's get rowdy tonight. Come on.
Sing a little louder.
My weapon what you do in a battle. Sing it out.
I raise a hallelujah. I raise a hallelujah.
That's the cry of victory. Come on.
I raise a hallelujah.
Oh,
I raise a hallelujah.
Come on, somebody get excited tonight.
We honor you, Lord. We honor you, God. We know that you inhabit our praises. So it is our desire that you rest on us. We want your presence, Lord God. We're after your presence, Lord God. Yes, Lord God. Make us living sacrifices, holy and acceptable unto you.
As the Spirit was moving over the waters, Spirit, come move over us. Come rest on us. Come rest on us. As the Spirit was moving over the waters, Spirit, come move over us.
Hey,
come rest on us. Come rest on.
Come on and help me.
As the Spirit was moving over the waters, Spirit, come move over us. Come rest on us.
Hey, glory.
Come rest on us. As the Spirit was moving
over the waters,
just like
Spirit,
the dove rested on Jesus. Rest on us.
Come rest on us.
Hey.
Come rest on us. Come down. Spirit, when you move, you make my heart. When you fill the room,
you're here and I know you are moving.
I'm here and I know you will fill me. Come down, Spirit, when you move, you make my heart pound. When you fill the room,
you're here and I know you are moving. I'm here and I know you will fill me.
The Spirit was moving over the water. Spirit, come move over us.
That's a cry.
Come rest on us. Come rest on us. As the Spirit was moving over the water. Spirit, come move over us. Come rest on us.
Come on and sing that with victory.
Come rest on us. Spirit was moving over the water. Spirit, come move over us.
That's what we want.
Come rest on us.
Hey.
Come rest on us. As the Spirit was moving over the water, Spirit, come move over us. The gates, let a heaven on in. Come rest on us. Come rest on us. So calm down, Spirit, when you move, you make my heart pound. When you fill the room,
you're here and I know you are moving. I'm here and I know you will feel me.
Calm down, Spirit, when you move, you make my heart pound. When you fill the room,
you're here and
and I know you will feel me.
Fill us up, Lord.
All across the room with lifted hands, begin to cry out, come fill us up, Lord. That's why we're here. That's why we came. For more of you, for more of you.
Worship him, worship him.
Fill us up, Lord.
it when you move, you make my heart. When you fill the room, you're here and I know you are moving. I'm here and I know you will fill me. Come now, Spirit, when you move, you make my heart. When you fill the room, you're here and I know you are moving. I'm here and I know you will fill me.
Living God, that you are here in this place with your people. We have come to worship you, God. We didn't come to play games, God. We came to worship. We came to meet with you. We want to know what you have to say, God. We want to hear from you. We want a touch of heaven today, God. And as we raise our hands, Lord, we're here. Fill us up. Fill us up, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord.
From you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory. You're worthy of it all. You're worthy of it all. For from you are all. To you are all things. You deserve the glory.
Come on and help me across the room.
You're worthy of it all.
Now unto you, God.
You're worthy of it all.
Be all glory, honor, dominion, and power, Lord.
For from you are all things.
And to
you. You deserve the glory.
Glory and honor belong to you, Lord.
You're worthy of it all.
So we give it to you, God. We give it to you freely.
You're worthy of it all.
Creator of all, from you are all things.
From you are all things. And to you are all things.
You deserve.
You deserve. Glory.
One more time from the bottom of your hearts.
You're worthy of it all.
Yes, God.
You're worthy of it all.
Yes, God.
You're worthy of it all.
Oh,
to raise your hands to God. And we're going to sing, I exalt thee.
Yes.
Come on, you ready?
I exalt thee.
Exalt you, Lord, because you alone are worthy of all of our praise. You're worthy of our love and devotion, Lord. There's no one but you. And we thank you for your presence here tonight. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit, we welcome you. We honor you. We reverence you. We ask you, Holy Spirit, to move as you will tonight. Speak as you will tonight. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will touch every person tonight in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we will give you alone all of the praise for everything that is said and done in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen and amen. Won't you turn and welcome someone, greet somebody. Hallelujah. We exalt you. Some of those older songs are so good. They're so anointed. Like that one, I exalt thee. Praise the Lord. Well, good evening, everybody. We're so glad that you are here tonight. And we welcome all those who are watching online. We're so glad that you joined us as well. Welcome to Ascend Church. I want to get through these preliminaries as fast as possible. Really, what I want to do tonight is we want to welcome, if we do have any first-time guests tonight, if this is the first time you've been to Ascend Church, we want to welcome you. We'd love to recognize you. Would you mind if you're a first-time guest, just wave at me like this. We have a gift we want to give you. Just wave at me. Any first-time guests tonight? No? All right. So let's move on. Secondly, we'd like to know who's here tonight, so I want to ask you, please, when the register comes by, if you would just fill out your name on that register, I would really, really, really appreciate that. Praise the Lord. Now, we are going to receive the offering for our church tonight. We're going to continue to worship the Lord with our giving, with our tithes, and with our offerings. And I'm just going to go over again. How many were here this morning? Wave at me if you were here this morning. How many of you were not here this morning? A few. So all of you here this morning, you heard this already. If you're a tither, you'll agree with what I'm saying. If you're a tither, you'll be like, yeah, Pastor Steve, go. And so you don't mind hearing it again. If you're not a tither, you need to hear it again. So I want to go over what we went over this morning, and that is I want to share quickly 10 reasons why I tithe. I started tithing, which means that I honor the Lord by bringing the first tenth of every dollar that I receive. The first tenth goes to God. And I've been doing that since I was 17 years old. My first job working at the bank, I started tithing. My salary was $400 a month, so I was tithing $40. And within 2 years, I was 17 years old, within 2 years, by the time I was 19, The Lord opened doors for me, and I was in a different job, and I was selling furniture, and I was making $2,000. So my salary went from $400 to $2,000 in under 2 years, and I didn't finish high school. And it's always because God's blessing, and I connect that with tithing. So why do I tithe? 10 reasons. Number one, Jesus told us to tithe. In Matthew 23:23, Jesus said, yes, you should tithe. Now, that should settle it for every believer. If Jesus says you should do something, there should be no more debate about it. But I'm going to give you another 9 reasons. Number two, tithing is putting God first in my life. In Deuteronomy 14, verse 23, it says, the purpose of tithing is to teach you always to put God first in your life. When a person begins to tithe, it's a big indication that God is first in their life. Number three, the tithe belongs to God. In Leviticus 27, verse 30, it says, a tithe of everything from the land, whether grain from the soil or fruit from the trees, belongs to the Lord. It is holy to the Lord. The word holy means set apart, belongs to Him. Number four, tithing provides for God's house. In Malachi 3, verse 10, the Bible says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Amen. That's what enables us to continue to be here and have church every week because of the faithful tithers and givers in this church. If it wasn't for you tithing, there wouldn't be food in God's house. Number five, tithing opens the windows of heaven above me. Malachi 3, verse 10 goes on to say, try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour you out such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. So God says when we tithe, it opens up the windows of heaven for God to pour blessings on us. Number six, tithing brings divine protection. In Malachi 3, verse 11, it says, and not only will God open the windows of heaven and pour blessing, but He says, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. The devourer is the enemy. So he will not be able to destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. Tithing brings divine protection. Number seven, tithing is storing up treasures in heaven. You came into this world with nothing, naked, and you're going out the same way. Everything you have is staying behind. Your house, your car, every belonging ain't going with you. But you know what is going with you? Whatever you've invested and given to the kingdom of God, you've laid up treasure in heaven. That's what the Bible says, and Jesus said in Matthew 6:19, He said, do not store up treasures on earth where they can erode away and they can be stolen. Store them up in heaven where they will never lose their value and are safe from thieves. Number eight, tithing keeps my heart right, and it keeps me free of greed. Can I tell you that the only indication that we are free of greed is our ability to give? Jesus said in Matthew 6:21, where your treasure is, that is where your heart will be. And when a person invests their finances by tithing in the kingdom of God, their heart is in the kingdom of God. Number nine, tithing shows that I love God and that I worship Him. Jesus said in Matthew 6:24, you can't worship two gods at once. Loving one God, you'll end up hating the other. Adoration of one feeds contempt for the other. You cannot worship God and money. So tithing is showing that I love God and that I'm worshiping Him. Not worshiping my money, I'm worshiping God. And then finally, number 10, tithing shows that I trust God. I don't trust my money. And I think that's a big one here. It demonstrates our trust. And the Bible says in 1 Timothy 6, verse 17, tell those who are rich not to be proud and not to trust in money, which will soon be gone. But their trust should be in the living God, who always richly gives us all we need for our enjoyment. Tell them to use their money to do good. They should be rich in good works, and they should give happily to those in need. always being ready to share with others whatever God has given them. By doing this, they will be storing up treasure for themselves in heaven. It's the only safe investment for eternity. And they will be living a fruitful Christian life down here on earth. Evidently, my giving is an indication of my being fruitful in this earth, and my giving is storing up treasures in heaven. There's 10 reasons why I tithe. Next week, I'll give you another 10, because there's plenty of reasons why I tithe. And all the tithers said amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, if you want to go ahead and give tonight, tithe, honor the Lord, you know how to do it. There's many ways. It's on the screen. There's the envelope in front of you. Thank you for your giving. Thank you to all of our faithful tithers. And I'm going to pray right now. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, that it is your will that we would be blessed. Not only that we would be blessed, that we would be a blessing. And you promise, Lord, that when we honor you with the tithe, that you open the windows of heaven and you pour blessing upon us and you rebuke the devourer. And I thank you, Lord, for the windows of heaven that are open above every tither. I thank you for pouring blessing upon them. I thank you for bringing increase in their life. I thank you for your favor that surrounds them. I thank you for opening doors supernaturally, Father. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I declare the blessing of God on every giver and tither in Jesus' name. Amen. So I received that. Now, this morning I told you that in Ephesians chapter 4, in verse 11, it says that Jesus himself gave gifts to the church. The apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher. That's called the fivefold ministry. And he gave these gifts for the equipping of the saints to build up the church. And so we are so pleased to have a prophet with us tonight, a New Testament prophet, this prophet Ed Trout. And we have been privileged to know him for many years, for 30 years. He's been in ministry, I think, over 40 years. He's from South Africa. We met him in South Africa. He preached at our church in Cape Town numerous times. I said, whenever we'd have Ed Trout, we couldn't fit the people in the building. I mean, that would be jam-packed out. But people are a little hungrier in South Africa. And I'm praying that we will get hungry for God like that. I'm praying that a hunger for God will hit this church. Because when you get hungry for God, you can't stay away. Amen. So anyway, we're so glad to have Prophet Ed. We had an amazing time yesterday at the prophetic seminar. And then this morning was awesome. And so won't you welcome Prophet Ed as he comes to minister tonight. Thank you. We need a microphone. There you go.
Thank you very much. Yeah, it makes me feel emotionally secure. Otherwise, how can I knock some water over if I don't have something? You never know with me. I'm so glad you guys came back in the evening. I know you don't normally have a service, but thank you for doing that. I came a long way to be with you, so I'm glad you came out and joined me tonight. The greatest day of my life, or the greatest memory I have of my life, is when I got born again. My family exiled the Holocaust. My mother was an 8 or 9 year old German Jewess that left on a refugee ship out of Germany. North of Berlin is a harbor that Jews from Cape Town sponsored a ship that picked up a lot of Jews and brought them to South Africa, and my family landed there. I was born there, and my family didn't follow Orthodox Judaism, which is not uncommon. They still went to synagogue on occasions and bar mitzvahs and different things like that, but not very often. And they didn't talk a lot of religion. They had some habits and practices that we did as Jews. And I eventually lived between three different synagogues, a very close walking distance, and just had a lot of them around me all the time. It was the culture that I grew up in. And I was only 10 when I was at school in a place called Friedhof Primary School, when a little lady, yay big, came to our school called Auntie Sunny. And she would have a big flannel board, and she told us on one morning assembly that was given to her by the headmaster that she could have, and she for half an hour spoke about this wonderful story that I still remember this day after so many years. And she told us Jesus loved us. And of course, she would reward the kids by asking questions, and they'd get a little book they'd get a coin or they'd get some reward. And it was fascinating to me about this someone I'd never heard that loved me, apparently, this Jesus. And I was towards the back, and my Gentile compadres didn't get all the answers because we Jews are just born good-looking and smart and very humble. I'm joking. Come on, guys. Lighten up. And so I had my hand up, and they couldn't get the one answer. And she picked me, and I kept looking, me. And she gave me money. At that time, it was called a tikki, which is a lot of money. You could buy a lot of candy with it. And I was a tikki, which is a 2.5 pennies. But I was very thrilled that God could love me, this God, and give me money. I was interested. So I followed her to the nearest crusade that she had at a Pentecostal church called the Full Gospel in Kloof Street. And that's where I was roped into Sunday school and heard about Jesus for 3 years. Finally, they asked me, will I please go to church, come to the services? And I ended up in a church in Plumstead called Bethel, and the man there was Jimmy Crompton. And he preached the hell out of me. I was 13. I was so overwhelmed with his preaching, and he used to yell, of course, and talk about sin and you're going to hell. So I got saved 5 Sundays in a row. I did. Every Sunday I got saved. It was such a wonderful experience. But I not only got saved, and I wasn't saved from sin because I didn't know what's at 13. Who knows what sin is? But I followed the Lord with such zeal because I found someone that cared, coming from a broken home and such a strange background as a child. I had my parents divorced when I was 4. And I really fell in love with the Lord, and he became someone real to me. I wasn't saved from sin. I did all my sin much later, and still God forgave me. So I learned to know a Savior and a Lord that no one can change my mind about, an amazing King and Kings and Lord of Lords. And so the greatest thing in my life has been my salvation, and it wasn't because I wanted to avoid hell or heaven, go to heaven and have rewards. It was the relationship that I always have enjoyed. It has been the most wonderful adventure of my life that I could have a conversation with someone and he will say things to me that I can't make up. I can't imagine them. I can't make them up. He uses words, I don't even know what they mean. I have to look them up because I don't understand what that is oftentimes. And I have all these unusual experiences with him, and I love him so much. He's such a good and kind God. The older I've become, I've got into a whole new frame of relationship in the last year, and I've learned a whole new God that I didn't know. He's far more gracious than you. There are things that he doesn't tolerate, but he has so much kindness and grace. The devil's not your enemy, and neither is the world, because Jesus overcame both. The greatest enemy you have is the spirit of religion. Christians that have faith that are stuck on rules and regulations. And Jesus said to them, they're a bunch of snakes that want to stick to the law and not allow people to enter the... He said, come to me, all you that are heavy laden. But in this relationship, and I've learned to know the Lord Jesus as my Savior, I looked in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and I study. It's very typical of the culture or the Jewish faith I come from, that we explore everything continually. We're always exploring and analyzing the Word of God. And I found this Jesus had many relationships, and how he interacted with women, people that were women at the well and people that were sick. They all came from different reasons, but there was one man that never came to him because he had a need, because he wanted something, he was sick, or his life was messed up. In fact, he came to Jesus from a place of extraordinary success, but he was looking for something. And I'm reading from the Matthew account. It's actually from the book of Mark. And I told the guys here this morning early that the book of Mark was the original most used gospel. Many of the verses have been copied directly into Matthew and into Luke. But Mark is very accurate and very much used by so much. There's parts that have gotten lost over the years. And you'll find in your book of Mark, it'll say this original manuscript doesn't contain these words. But they found it later in different copies and so on. If you study those things, they are so fascinating. Let me stop and tell you this, if you don't mind. You may have heard of the Dead Sea Scrolls. This was a very extreme group called the Essenes. their scenes were like monks. They didn't get married, and they lived a very, very secluded life. And they left Jerusalem because of the politics in Jerusalem, and they started a monastery down the Dead Sea. And that's where John the Baptist was roped into their lifestyle. They wrote and copied the scriptures, 24 books we have in our Torah, and they only copied 23 because the book of Esther didn't have any mention of God, so they didn't think it was spiritual enough. They wrote several of their own writings, and some of those writings contain things about Melchizedek, as does the second book of Enoch. I don't know if you know about that. And of course, Psalm 110 has about Melchizedek and on. But we were talking about it today, so I'm mentioning to the pastor about Melchizedek. So these writings, they had a lot of their own rules and regulations, and people, there were 11 caves, they found all these scriptures. Now you must understand that they were, in the time of the Roman Empire, they came and took over everything, they hid all these scriptures away, they hid them all, because they were precious. And for 2,000 years, Israel scattered, and they took their scriptures with them, and through all the persecution and burning of things, to maintain what they had was hard work. And so what makes this Dead Sea Scroll so fantastic is when they recovered them before Israel became a nation, right 10 years before, it was backwards and forwards between New York and Israel all the time, but they've laid it out and they've interpreted it and they've found the original scriptures that they had, the Israelites came back to Israel, that not one single scripture was lost. That everything was exactly the same for 2,000 years. And there was no printing press, there was no computers to keep it all. It just showed that God kept the integrity of his word. And that's why I'm very confident that our Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and all our epistles are accurate and the integrity has been maintained. People have set out to disprove the Bible numerous times, scientists only to become converted or exasperated because they just cannot disprove the Bible. Are you hearing me? Okay. Having said all that, Matthew chapter 19 reads like this. Matthias, hoofdstuk 19 vir hulle wat Afrikaans kan verstaan. Mit dem Deutsch reden ist auch Matthias, Kapitel 19. Gibt da jemand Deutsch reden können? Keiner? That's the way you'll all speak one day. Matthew 19, verse 16. Deutsch. Jawohl. Did you know that English comes from German? You knew that. You were a teacher. From Germania. That's where English comes from. It's amazing, isn't it? You'd think it came from Latin. No, German. Yeah, Germans are good people, yeah. You know, God told me that people remember Germany from the Second World War and Hitler. But God remembers Germany for the hundreds and hundreds of years of sending out the Mennonites, the missionaries, the revolution from Catholicism to being Presbyterian. They came all out of Germany. So they've touched the world, that nation, and God remembers that nation, and he's blessed them. After the Second World War, they became the fifth largest economy in the world. They themselves as a nation are carrying the entire EU economically. They're hard workers, they're quite a nation, and God has blessed them. Interesting, yeah, Deutschland. You like German cars. Some most intelligent people do. Just saying. Just then, verse 16 of chapter 19, just then, a man came to Jesus and asked, "Teacher, what good thing must I do to get eternal life?" And I must pause there because I know my Gentile friends don't really understand what that means. You're looking at a Jew that is wealthy, young, and successful. That's the other scriptures tell us. All this parallel tell us he was wealthy and he was young. So he was tasted success and he was a ruler. He wasn't just an ordinary guy. So he was obviously in with all the rabbis and all the great leaders, Sanhedrin, and he must have gone to them and explored scriptures continually. To come to Jesus like he would have been quite something, because Jesus was controversial and he was not accepted. He was a real thorn in the flesh of all the spiritual leaders of the day. They didn't know how to process who he really was. And this young ruler was obviously desperate, having asked so many people. Now he comes to Jesus and says, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" That's very strange for a Jew to ask, especially someone as successful as him. Why do you ask me what is good? Jesus replied, there's only one who is good. If you want to enter life, keep the commandments. He's talking to a Jew now. Which ones? He asks. Jesus replied, you shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. Honor your father and your mother and love your neighbor as yourself. I can certainly know if I've committed murder, and I can know if I've committed adultery, and I can know if I've stolen or given even perhaps false testimony. But how do I know if I've honored my mother and father enough, or how do I measure loving my neighbor as I love myself? But he was so confident, he said, all these I have kept. I've kept them. I've done them all. So he's obviously pursuing, he's pursued wealth and has found success everywhere. But the one thing he wants now is to be sure of his spiritual, this life hereafter. And Jesus says, well, if you want to enter life, that's what you must do. And he says, I've done all these. So that would have satisfied and would have been the answer for him. And he says, all these I have kept. What do I still lack? Why do you think you're still lacking something? What's making you think that? You're successful, you're blessed in every way, but something's missing to make you feel you're lacking something. And there are people in this room today that you're feeling you're lacking something. You're hungry, you're looking, you're yearning, you're wanting something. We've done so many things in our lives because we were looking for something. We've chased all kinds of pleasures and things in life, thinking that will satisfy us, and nothing has. Those who've been around a while can honestly testify that none of that really satisfies. So he says to him, if you want to be perfect, if you want to go to that higher level, go and sell your possessions, not give them away. Of all the things to tell him to do, not give your stuff away, go and sow it. He says, sell everything you have so you can't retrieve it. There's a finality in selling it and then give it to the poor, even a greater finality. It's not family or someone you can retrieve it from that might feel sorry for you. It's giving to the poor, you not getting that back. It is final. You're going to sell it, get rid of it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. When the young man heard this, he went sad because he had great wealth. Now understand this, that he came to Jesus explicit for an answer. He got an answer, but it wasn't what he could hear. Now, I'm not talking to you today about money at all. Money has nothing to do with it. It's where his heart or the love was in his life. And what I really want to talk to you about is loving the Lord. Loving him more than anything in this world. For it was a strange journey for Abraham to wait so long. God promises him a son, and he waits 24 years. In the interim, he has Ishmael in his own efforts, has to send Ishmael away, and then his wife has pregnant with Isaac, and years go by, and now in this late part of his life, God wants him to sacrifice him. He didn't just have to walk up the hill and kill him. No, he took 2 days with 2 servants, 2 donkeys. Every night he's thinking about this. Maybe I'm going senile. Maybe I'm crazy. Why would God give me something and take it back? Doesn't make any sense. But God will see where your heart really is. And the greatest command, Jesus said, is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. Paul said, I have discovered or found the secret to contentment. Well, why do you call it a secret? Because so few get it, so few actually discover that. I've learned to be prosperous, not prosperous, learned in all conditions to be happy, because my happiness didn't come from that. Everybody in this room has a request. Everybody in this room has something your soul's yearning for. What if it would never come, and would you be happy enough in God right where you are? If you never got married, if you never got a new car, if you didn't prosper, if you didn't get healed, would you still be in love with God? Would you still put him first? Would you still be the most important person in your life? In my own journey, it took a crisis 22 years ago to draw me closer to him, because when people forsake you, then you cling to God. But this last year has been a fascinating year for me. because God began to wake me up and then talk to me. And I've never experienced such an intimacy with him. I didn't ask for it. I wasn't looking for it. I wasn't fasting or praying. He just came, woke me up. And then he'll say to me, ask me a question. And I could not think for the life of me what to ask God. It was the strangest thing. So weeks went by and I thought of a few questions. And so when he came and visited me again, I was ready for the questions. And I fired it at him. And he gave me an answer as fast as I could think. It went so fast, like a USB download of all the information. He is such an amazing Savior and God and Lord. I mean, I hear him now so clearly that if I'm looking for my keys, he'll tell me exactly where they are. And most times I'll argue. Because I say, I wasn't in that room. It can't be there. The other day, Eric, one of my employees, was looking for something. I told him it's in your glove compartment. And he said, I just looked there. I just went through the whole glove compartment. And an hour later, he was still looking. I said, go look in your glove. And sure enough, there it was. Because I'm really getting to hear more clearly now. But I've become so abandoned to him that nothing you have I could possibly want. You've got nothing I want. Because I'm really content in him. And I have such a desperate desire to see you on that journey to enjoy that. Because happiness, no matter what your circumstances are, and everybody's got crises going on in their lives. We go from one crisis to another, but they don't affect me one little bit. It doesn't take away my joy and my peace. I am so content in him. I feel there's one thing that I know for sure, that he loves me. No one can take it away. Nobody can take that away. It took my whole life to receive it because my family did not. My mother didn't want me. And the whole life was riddled with unwantedness and always felt I was not good enough. But if I'm one thing, I'm sure that he loves me, and that he, that's more than enough. That I don't need anybody else to love me. His love is more than enough. And nobody can take it away. What I have, nobody has to give me. They haven't got it to give me. And I'm so content. I like nice things, but a doctor doesn't do anything for me. But I long to see you taste that. Once you start tasting it, you'll never be satisfied with less. And the whole reason of salvation, the whole plan of God, was so that you could be united with him. When God made man, you know, when you have an animal, you see an animal get pregnant, you watch them, they bring exactly them. A dog will have, wherever the male was in that situation, you'll wonder what's coming out, exactly how they'll look. But God said, let us make man in our image. No animal was made in his image. No one, no angel was made in God's image. No angel. We are made in his image. He took his own DNA and reproduced himself. The body you see in the mirror is only a temporary carbon house. You are a spirit living in a body, and you have a soul. Your soul gives you individuality and your decision power. And the whole purpose of being on earth is to discover and know him. That's the whole reason. And everything God did for salvation purposes, the whole journey with mankind and the fall of man and throughout the ages and all the craziness that went on with all the fallen angels, and he had to flood the earth, and step by step ended up with a people, a nation that he had to birth. God had to birth a nation to have salvation. Clear as could be, we had to have a people or a nation called by God to show you that your ways, your law, that all the methods that are easy will not work for you. Sacrificing law didn't work. It all pointed you to the ultimate sacrifice and salvation of our Savior. A most amazing salvation. Hebrews 2 says, how shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? He knows you by name. The Bible says every hair on your head has got a number. You don't know how many hair you have on your head, but God is that involved in your life, and you cannot measure his approval by your circumstances that go up and down, because God is true to his word. He will not change. He'll keep do exactly what he is, what he says he is. He's never in a hurry. We are in a hurry because we have 70, 80 years on earth, and we're in a hurry to get stuff done today. There is no tomorrow for us. We're in a hurry, hurry, and God is not stressed about anything. He says, behold, come quickly. And that was 2,000 years ago. He says, not in a hurry. He'll take his time, but he's very involved in your life, and his value system is what's inside of you, how you respond, what you do in every situation. You're driving down the road and somebody pulls in front of you and does something wrong. What are you going to do? It's all about decision making all day. Are you going to choose him or something else? Adam and Eve were in the garden and the snake came, or the devil came, and told Eve, take this fruit. Actually asked, did God really say? So she started reciting what God said, and she recited it wrong. She got the scriptures wrong. And then she took of the fruit. She was deceived. Adam wasn't deceived. Adam knew exactly what he was doing. No devil deceived him. So he's standing there looking at her, and she's crossed that line. She's taken this fruit. She's offering it to him. If I take this fruit, he's thinking, I'm going to endanger my relationship with God. If I don't, I might lose Eve. What am I going to do? God, Eve. Eve, God. Okay, Eve. And takes the fruit. He chose Eve. From that moment to this, your life is riddled with decisions. Every day, all day. How are you going to respond? You have chances every day to respond. And God gave us a pattern. Jesus gave us a pattern of behavior. Turn the other cheek. Love your enemy. He set things in motion that were of a different world, a different kingdom that he required. If you love those that love you, you've done nothing more than the world. You are different. You're not like them. He gave us patterns to live by, and then his Holy Spirit comes. And if you give him lordship of your life, and there's another thing with the Holy Spirit. Momentous occasion, momentous. You know, the salvation came through Jesus, and that was a shocker for the Jews because they've been praying for thousands of years, blessed be the Lord our God is one God, and suddenly he's got a son from Nazareth, someone they can see. And then he goes away through a strange death and all the strange happenings, and he sends the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit's been on the earth, but this time he's come to live. And Jesus said, I will not leave you alone. That's what he said, I won't leave you alone. I will send you the Comforter. Well, let me tell you, Jesus, you left and it took 10 days before the Holy Ghost came. No, the Holy Ghost was there the same day I left. The difference was he was looking for the church. He was sent to the church and he found a Christian here and a Christian there, but he hadn't found the church. And then the church decided, let's gather for the Jewish feast called Shavuot, which is Pentecost, as you know it. So they gathered, they only gathered because it was Shavuot. He would have come the same day Jesus left had they just gathered. Had they just come, I found the church, and it was, wah, a power. And little tongues of fire appeared, and everyone had spoken tongues. It was a manifestation. It was an ongoing daily revival, supernatural, this Holy Spirit. But the evidence through the book of Acts of how the disciples talk about him, Peter's seeing a sheet-like object come down. And then the Holy Spirit says to him, go with these men. And he responds because he's familiar with the Holy Spirit talking to him. And so there's so many instances like that where they respond to the Holy Spirit, that he speaks to. It should become a part of your life that you're familiar when the Holy Ghost speaks to you. It should be a companion in your life. That's what he was sent, the Comforter. He was come to lead you into all truth, a friend. That was the purpose of it. That's the Holy Spirit, and we need to have him back. And the two common factors in every supernatural revival last 2,000 years was, first of all, there was sacrificial prayer. People got to a place of prayer that cost them something. What does that mean? Well, they got up 2 o'clock in the morning and came to pray for an hour, or they prayed and fasted for 3 days. They did something that was not comfortable. If you have a prayer meeting, you can hardly get any people to come out at all. We can't even fill this hall up on a Sunday morning. Because you just don't want to. There's a lethargy, right? But when they pray, and the second thing is the common factor was they welcomed the Holy Spirit as a person. They treated him as somebody, not something. Those two things were the common denominator for every revival. Do you understand what I'm telling you? And so I'm here to invite you today for intimacy and a time with the Lord, because you don't have to earn it. You're already rotten. You were rotten when he saved you. You're not any better now. You're just following him, but you're still rotten. As sure as I live, you may think you're not, but you still get impatient. You still do have all kinds of things that are ungodly that come out of us, all of us. He didn't save the good people. Then I would have no chance. Right? And so we don't have a room to judge anybody. A lot of you have gone through a crisis because you judge somebody. You're going through all kinds of stuff Jesus said, don't judge, because by the same measure you're judging, you're going to get judged. And when people go through crises, a lot of it's judgment because they had their mouth about someone else and judged them, and that same judgment came on them. So take my advice today, repent of all judgments and make every clear effort not to have an opinion about someone's life. It's not your business. And the devil's clever. He'll ask you, did you see that? What do you think about that? I don't think anything. It's not my business. I have nothing to do with it. I have no responsibility. Why must I have an opinion? I despise people that try to, not the people, but the habit of trying to be a policeman in the church. If you go through the internet, you'll see there's always someone commenting about different leaders. And Jesus said, Jesus, my Savior said, if they're not against us, they're for us. Shall we go and stop them? They're casting out devils and healing the sick in your name. We don't know who they are. They're not against us. Leave them. And there are people that don't preach it the way you preach it, but they're on our side. Now, if you're against Muslims, please feel free, because they're not on our side. They want to cut our heads off. Do you understand? But if someone in any way celebrates God, shut your mouth. Don't talk bad about a Catholic church, a Presbyterian church, a Methodist church. Shut your mouth. Because they're on our side. Are you hearing me? We're on the same team. So let us keep focused on what God has given us to do. Let us take these things seriously. I'm calling and I'm inviting you to pursue Him, to know Him, to have a relationship with Him, because you're missing out on the pleasure of life. Because I'm a living testimony how much, I don't know what it feels like to be lonely. I tell my grandkids every day, I wish I could just be bored. I wish I could be bored in 5 minutes, just 5 minutes. I don't get a chance to be. And I enjoy, like this afternoon, people think, what are you going to do? Can you entertain yourself? Are you kidding me? I'm not alone. I yearn for those times that I can have conversations. I do it so that I get up 4 a.m. so I can have time with Him. Because no one can disturb me. I must have time with Him because He's such a, and I don't come and give a whole shopping list. I have a conversation with Him. And I have to change things all the time, and I have to listen to what He's saying. He is so wonderful. If you ask Him questions and get involved in His life, in Him, He's going to become a friend to you that you've never had. You will have not that emptiness in your life or a need for a friend, a partner, a child. None of those needs will be, it'll be a blessing, but everything will be satisfied in Him. Your contentment, it'll be the fullness of contentment in Him. There's nothing like it. And this young man, he found his identity in the wealth. It happened to be wealth in this case, but a lot of people find identity in different things. In relationships, family, they find the identity. And God wants to be that position. He wants that first. He will never share. You can have anything you want as long as He's first. So doesn't care if you have 5 BMWs, doesn't care. Jesus wasn't poverty stricken. Are you kidding me? That Jesus, He didn't go to Neiman Marcus to buy His clothes. Hell no. He didn't even go to a tailor to have a special, didn't go to New York to go to someone that will make His clothes or go to France. No, they wove His garment to fit Him. There wasn't a seam in His garment. It was so gorgeous that after 3 days of being dragged to the streets of blood and mire, the Romans would not cut it up. They wanted to cast lots for it. It was that beautiful. That's Jesus. He wasn't poverty stricken. And He knew where all the good food was. The Pharisees had all the good food. They had everything. And when they had money in shortage, which is always with Judas, there's never money. And so he'd go to a fish. Go to the fish, just cast your line out. No net, just to cast the line. And the first fish you get will be a coin in his mouth. And that'll be enough for us right there. Yeah? And so God has always got a fish in the background for you. You stress about money all the time. Money is a funny thing. It changes our lives, and it really affects us in every way. And God watches how you handle it. He's always watching how you handle it. He'll trust you with lots of it if He just doesn't hold you. It's that simple. And He says the poor will always be among you, not you. You're not meant to be poor. You were never meant to be poor. You're meant to help those among you. Do you understand? But if you cannot give, if God can't get it through you, He's not going to get it to you. Many of you are just rotten stewards. You're foolish. You have credit cards of 18%. You have your car financed at that same but just foolish managers and stewards of money. And God wants you to use a little wisdom and start using your brain. We buy things we don't need. Christmas time, what a fiasco. We spend thousands of dollars on stuff that nobody wants. We get receipts so they can take it back. What a stupid culture is that? Do you understand? We need to change something there. My family's gotten so crazy. We're talking about 10 things per person. I mean, it's like a whole effort and job to wrap them and untear them, all the wrappings. And it's such a job. He's so nervous that something's in all that wrappings that something got lost because there's so much. Of course, I've got a big family, but there's so much stuff. It's just junk. Amen. The real value of people to God, what's valuable to the Lord, much more valuable. And as you get older, and those of you know what I'm talking about, those things you thought were valuable are just so waste of time. Things around you are precious. Now, God will bless you, and he wants to bless you if you just let him be first in your life. That's all, just first. And he'll check, he'll test, see if you really are. He'll test you. He'll ask you, Abraham, bring me your son. I want you to kill him. That's kind of strange. That's really asking a whole lot from me. But he wants to know if you really do love him first and foremost. Are you hearing me? Because he saved you that you'd worship him and love him. And if it's hard for you to spend 10 minutes with him alone, and I don't mean a long prayer list and praying the same ritual, boring prayer over and over. I mean spending time with him. When you spend time with God, you tell him how wonderful he is, and you worship him, and you listen to what he's saying to you. You take time out to listen, to have a conversation. Conversation is two ways. And you start doing that on a regular basis, you'll become addicted to it. And then you'll become a habitual. When you need an answer, you go to him first. Because you're going to get your answers faster. You're not going to depend on someone, run to, oh, I'll ask Pastor Steve, or I'll ask. No, he's got better answers for you. He is the answer. He is the answer. As God is my witness, you've been at the edge of this church for some time now, waiting. God wants to, and he's ready to bring a huge breakthrough. What God has always planned for this church is like nothing you've seen. But there has to be someone that's serious. You know, God has no problem dwindling it down from 32,000 to 20,000 to 300. Dwindling it down, he's no problem with that. No problem, because he got rid of 100,000 of those Philistines with just 300. But he's interested in looking for those that are sold out to him, that belong to him. And I must say, in my observation this morning, a lot of good quality people here, a lot of good quality. But here in America, our culture is, if we don't like the job, we don't like the restaurant, we don't like the house, we just move. Don't like the marriage, just get another one. Everything just move from one to the other, one to the other. Don't like the church, just go to the next church. Please, if you're in this family, stay committed. Because you're going to have days that you're going to get upset and frustrated. Don't run. Don't let God work it out, because he's using it iron to sharpen iron. He's working in all of us. Unless he tells you to go, really tells you to go, stay. Be committed. Be fully committed with your tithe, your time, and God will bless you. He wants you to know him in every way. Search for him. Get hungry for him, and he will show up. He wants to be your friend. He wants to be your savior, your Lord, your lover, your father. He wants to be it all for you. And he's longed for you. Paid a very expensive price that you could have that all. And I personally enjoy it so much. I am so happy, so content. I've been like this for so long. But really, there's nothing to match it. I'm really happy. And it's because of him. Am I right? I forgot your name. What's your name? Demony. Yeah, you've got a good voice for radio. Deep and sound. This is Demi coming to you live. She's so cute. Definitely, you've got a relationship with the Lord. I can feel it. I can feel when people have a relationship with the Lord. I can feel it. It's like something, like a fabric. I can feel it. It's strange. I can feel. People really are hungry for. What's your name with a face? Gray shirt. Monique. I thought one was enough. What do you do, Monique? A mental health hospital? That takes a lot of courage and a lot of devotion to the Lord. Thank you for doing that. But God's knocking on your door. You've tasted of things of God. But your life is so busy. The devil has kept you busy, girl. Family stuff going on all the time. Just when you think you've got time for yourself and go to the store, hell no. Because something comes up and you've got to go here, run there, do this. And you think you have money for yourself, then someone needs it from you. It's like, am I ever going to have a life? So I'm here to tell you from God, He's got your back.
Amen.
And He really likes you. God really likes you. You have the sweetest heart, the most fun, kind spirit. Now, you can go from 0 to 100 in 10 seconds. You can. You can get pretty excited at times. But generally, you're the sweetest, sweetest person. So the Lord says, if you'll step back, I'm going to give your family a little shaking. But let me. Don't try and help them rescue, because you get in my way all the time. Step back. Let me work them a little bit. Because your methods haven't worked so far. You're just making it worse. Let me take care of it. They keep using you. They'll even steal your money. They get in your drawer and they steal the money. You wonder where it went. They told you they didn't. You thought you misplaced it. They took it. People that you're helping and loving, they took it from you. And it stops today. All that nonsense stops. Are you hearing me? You are a jewel and a gem, and you're God's child. He put His stamp on you a long time ago. He did. And He wants to bless you. So just step back. Let God give your family a little shaking. He's got your back. He loves you.
Amen.
He's got a whole, not right now, but a little later, He's got a brand new car for you. Not a used car, a brand new car for you. That's really going to make them mad. But that's okay. Yeah, you okay with me doing this? Can I carry on? Are you sure? I'm doing that. Okay, what's your name with a track on your shirt? Bikes. Brian. And this is your lovely... You knew that, didn't you, ma'am? What's your name?
Julie.
Hi, Julie. What do you do, Miss Julie?
I work for a chiropractor and for a woodworker, a cabinet maker.
Cabinet maker?
Mm-hmm.
You do two jobs?
Mm-hmm.
What do you do then? Is she doing all the work?
Construction.
Huh. What do you want to do?
I don't know.
You don't know? Mm-hmm. There's a God-given coach on the inside of you. Young men, young kids love you. And you have a way, you love the outdoors, you love all that other stuff, you just got that venture. You haven't grown up. Still that big boy, overgrown boy. But God wants to use that for His glory. And a professional coach and a professional young people, somehow you're getting hooked up with some, there's a government involvement in it to help reprogram this wayward boys. And you have the greatest patience and you're a lot sharper than even you think you are. You can sense things and you can see little evidences, and you've got the trick on there, but I see you with the bike and you have everything so tightly, carefully, everything's perfect. When you get in that bike, everything works. You know how to fix anything, and that's how you're going to be with the souls and people in your life. And it's going to be a profession more than just a hobby or a ministry. That's what God's got planned. Are you in this church?
Yes.
Okay, you need to be locked in a little more. I feel like that. You've got so much activity, just lock it in, because you're a little dry on the word. It needs to grow in you again. Can we do that?
Yes.
You've got a wonderful heart, fantastic heart, though. As for you, my sister, you're coping right now with all that work, and you do a good job, but there's coming a day when it'll be a bit much for you, because you are trying to make everything balanced. You are smart. You're a dad's girl. You come from a whole lineage of smart people and people that get things done. You're not a do-over person. You do it right the first time. You're clear. You don't pressurize me. I'll get it done, and you do. Finish everything you start. You're really smart. You didn't finish some education long time ago, but it wasn't really for you. That wasn't God's plan for you. So you can dump that. That's not going to help. God's got plans. He wants to bless your life, and you're going to have a different location where you'll live, and God's going to give you your own home. Right there, some waterway. It's not the thing at the ocean. There's some other water thing, long water thing close by. And you always telling your kids, don't go in there, don't go in there. And that's, I don't know why you had such a big issue with the water. Okay, so... both born again, speaking tongues, don't you? Yeah. There's a plan that God has for the two of you. This is all seasonal you're in right now. What's your name behind them with the mask?
Chris.
Chris. And you are married in love what?
I am married, yes, sir.
And what's her name? Do you know?
Isabel.
Isabel, you did know her name. And how long are you married to Isabel?
20 years next week.
Wonderful. And children?
Yes, sir. Four boys.
Thank you. Just give me the information so I don't have to keep asking. All right, four boys. What do you do?
I'm a pharmacist.
You sell drugs?
Yes, sir.
Can I talk to you later? Are you in this church, Chris?
Yes, sir.
This is the word of the Lord for you. God has drawn a line behind you. He told Lot's wife, don't look back. And that's what God wants for you. You've got a whole history with the church, not this church, whole history of family, a whole history of stuff. And everybody wants to put, and it bothers you because you like to do things right. You've got a very sensitive spirit. And you've been so on fire for God, but you've taken a backseat now. You don't want to repeat. God says, don't do that because they messed up. I want to use you. You've got so much to offer, so much to give. You really have a fire in your soul that I want to rekindle again and use for my glory. You've got a good communication gift to minister, to preach, and all that stuff's inside of you. Whether you want it or not, it's there. You could have put it to bed and some letting that go. No, God didn't let it go. God's got good things he wants to do. As a sign to you, he's healing one of your children. One of your kids needs a miracle, needs something. And God has sent his anointing to fix those things by his spirit. Because nothing is too hard for the Lord. You've been managing it, but God's going to fix it. Because God can. He can fix stuff. Isabel's is a blessing, but she's got her life very neatly organized, very neatly the way she wants it. And all of it's going to be a little bit changed. New things are coming. A lot more fun in the sun. But you're not moving. God's got you where he wants you. You're not going to relocate. There's all that talk before and comes and goes. Nah, put it out of your head. You're supposed to be. Florida is your home. Yep. And alligators and all that there stuff. Are we having fun yet? Yeah. What's your name?
Karen.
Carol, like singing Carol. And this is your toy boy? Oh, husband. Okay.
He's so busy.
What's your name, sir?
Leo.
Leo. Wow, it sounds like a drug dealer. I'm Leo. They did? I don't remember. Sorry. So what do you do for a living, ma'am?
I'm a mom and I volunteer for dog rescues.
For dog rescues. All right. What do you do, sir? From what?
Different businesses. I mean, the last one was a beauty salon.
You did a beauty salon?
Yes.
So you didn't enjoy life when you were working?
I did, but I had enough.
But now you're enjoying life differently, or what? Okay. You had enough. You still have a lingering business gift in you. You can't kill it completely. It's a little bit here, a little bit there, and it's going to keep increasing. Little investments, not hard effort, but God's going to bless you. You've got it smoothly organized, but it's just not doing as well as you'd like it to do. And God's got a whole different plan for you, and he's going to bless it. As for you, ma'am, you take care of dogs, and I'm happy for that, but you have ministry on the inside of you that's been sleeping, and he wants to awaken that thing inside of you. You have so much, not only prophetic, but you have so much, such a heart to encourage and strengthen God's people. You really care. You see stuff, but you say nothing. Don't know what's with that. See something, say something. Don't just watch, because you are a blessing. You are an amazing woman. There's another way to describe you. Really, you are. Faithful and far sharp, and you're both a good couple and come a long way, and the Lord has made you promises about your family. He'll keep his promises, but he wants you involved in this one. It's that simple. You can't escape it. You've got work to do, is what I'm saying. What's your name? Sammy Joe with the orange nails. Have you seen the pastor's pink nails? It's like you can see her from way over there. She's kind of, there comes Jill. Yeah, that's got to be Jill. I can't see her face, but I can see her nails. Those are pretty visible, too. So, what do you do? You're a nurse with those nails? Okay, well, I don't know how you do an IV with that lot. I'll say, could you call the doctor? What kind of nurse are you? What kind of? Oh, you like Nadine. Where's Nadine? Did I see her today? Went to the bathroom again? Every week now. Are you married? In love? You've had a real bumpy journey with all that stuff. It's so strange. I don't know what it is, because you're beautiful, you're smart. There's no reason for all that. It seems like you just make bad choices, or you trusted people, and you've gone in and out of being too trusting to being too suspicious and course, you had some stuff happen to you as a child that should never have happened. It wasn't your fault. You didn't do it. And nobody knows it except God and you. But the Lord has healed you in so many ways. And he wants you to put behind you what's behind you. God has other plans for you. I know you've done trained in nursing, and I know you're a good nurse, I'm sure. But he has got a whole different thing for you. I see you working on some sort of big boat of some kind. And it's not a cruise line. It's not that. It's like a private thing. I don't know what it is, but it's a specialized kind of thing. And you do, it's like you're going a little bit more than just a nurse. You're doing a little more medical stuff that you, when you're out at sea, you could still do certain things. And you are. You know, the wonderful thing about you, you're not afraid. You don't panic when there's crisis. And if no one's there, you'll do the cutting yourself. You give me that knife, I'll cut it myself. It's who you are. It's just, you just have that quick decision-making thing. But the Lord has sent his ministering spirit into your family. There's been some strange stuff. I mean, really strange. And he didn't cause it. He didn't do anything wrong. But it's been strange, and God wants to fix it. But he doesn't want you to be involved in it. Let him fix it by his spirit. Do you understand? Leave behind you now all the disappointments and relationships. God wants to do a whole new thing for you. He has to change your taste. Because that's, I hear now, that's where the issue is. You've got this certain taste. And it's the same bad boy every time. Same thing. It has to change. Because God's got the right one for you. Because you have so much love on the inside of you. So much love. You just have that adventure thing. You like to push the envelope. Or since you're a little kid, you just like to go a little further. They say, don't do it. That's when you're going to do it. So it's just, not because you're rebellious. You just want to try. And that's what's going to stop today. Because God wants you to be happy. He wants to fill your life so much. I'm so glad you didn't get bitter and angry. You had every reason to. So glad you didn't get bitter. Thank you. With your orange nails. Not putting an ivy in me. Not with those nails. Heck no. All right. So, whom must I minister to? What is your name with the glasses and the whatever color that is? Yes, ma'am. DM. Can I call you DM? Not DM.
DM. No.
This is your,
oh.
Next to you is your?
I don't know him.
You don't know him?
He's mine, but.
Magnum P.I.? No.
What?
No. A bald Magnum.
So what is your name? Nick the Trick. What is wrong with the two of you? Behave. Have you been giving them drugs? They sure act strange.
No. We've been together so long. You know.
How long is that?
36 years married and dating.
Okay, that's fun. How many kids do you have in 36 years?
Three.
Three. And grandkids?
No.
Not yet. No. Okay, grandkids are a lot of fun until you become the ATM.
Right.
Yeah. All right, that radio voice coming back behind there. Coming to you live. So what do you do now, sir, Nick?
I'm a personal landscaper with one client, my wife. I do her, that's all I do is yard work. She has me, and then I have a to-do list, and I do those things.
From what?
Whatever she wants done.
What are you retired from? What are you retired from?
I was in construction, and I do Jeep restorations on the side.
Yeah, you're still not done. You're very smart with some of those things. And what
last
I really.
You told me I was slow.
You are slow, but you're very smart. I didn't say you're fast. I didn't use the word fast. But here's the thing with you. You're a little slower. But you're very smart.
Thank you.
And what's the most amazing thing about you is the positive attitude you have. Everybody feels safe and comfortable with you. Nobody is a stranger. They all become friends. Even the store, if people get to know you already. They already, when you walk in the door, they don't greet her quick as much as they greet you, because you're so noticeable. I don't know what, but everybody knows you and your personality and so on. So this is a very important season of your life to touch people. Don't be slow in sharing the gospel. Just share Christ a little bit, just a little bit, so God will do the rest. He'll watch over his word. You don't have to be the mega evangelist. Just share a little bit, and God will do it. God will do it. He has heard your prayers. You've been specifically praying one thing lately, over and over, and he wants me to tell you he heard, he's got you. He heard you. He's going to take care of it. It's going to be okay. That's his promise. As for you, little lady, thank you for your faithfulness to the things of the Lord and to this church. You've made a commitment to the things of God. You're very important link and part of this family. In the next wave of this church, a lot of new people are coming, and you're very important, both of you, to help feed those new people spiritually. Do you understand that? Because that's who you are. Everybody's mama. Everybody's helper and always trying to do things for people. God thanks and applauds you for it. You're a blessing. He's touching your lower abdomens. I'm speaking to you. I feel the heat going through your body, healing you completely. You will not need any kind of doctor. You'll be fine. What's in the family will not touch you. You'll be fine. Yes, ma'am. That's what I'm saying. Are you pointing to your wife? The Cartwrights, Bonanza. Who of you remember Bonanza? Do you remember? No. You remember Bonanza? Wow. We have Hoss behind you. I don't know who you'd be. So, Mr. Cartwright, tell me what you do. I've forgotten. An inventor.
Yes.
An inventor. What do you invent?
Right now?
Yeah, right now.
Electrical product.
Okay. You design electrical stuff? Are you an electrical engineer?
No, I invented a new electrical system for lighting in fans.
So always doing something different and new, right?
And I have a new action figure for Marvel and Hasbro. It's another business.
You really are an unusual fella. Nothing boring. What do you do, ma'am?
I'm a nurse and a health coach.
You're a nurse. Mm-hmm. Look at there. Let me see your nails.
No, you're
a lot safer.
My nails
a lot
are not
safer.
Like Sammy Joe's. I can tell you that. There is nothing on them.
Okay. Do you actually practice nursing right now?
Part-time. I work in cataract surgery.
In cataract surgery?
When I do part-time.
Yeah, I can't figure out why they charge so much for that. That is extremely expensive.
Right.
Mm-hmm. This is a few minutes and you're out of there. And it's like, what did I pay for that much money for?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Please give me a cup of coffee for all that money, you know. That's what I'm saying. I didn't have cataract surgery yet, but my wife did.
Oh, yeah.
So,
that's good.
So you help with that. You say actually work.
Mm-hmm.
Your value is not in what you do, it's in who you communicate with. Because nobody can stay the same around you. You're impacting people's lives all the time where you are. And they might not enjoy your straightforward things about the Lord because you are a witness. There's no question. But they certainly have high regard and respect for you because you always come through for them and they know to ask when they need something. Funniest thing, they may talk about you behind your back, but when they need something, they come running to you. But you'll get it done. You'll find a way. It's who you are. So the impact you're making in lives is of great interest to the Lord and it excites the Lord. So just keep going and he will not deny you anything. So it's not the fact that you have to work. You don't have to work. It's because it's a ministry. God has got you touching lives that you would not ordinarily touch. You just are a blessing, amazingly. Very attentive. You pay attention. You listen to people talk. And you remember what they say. And you make everybody feel important. And that's a good thing. There's a lot of non-Christian atmosphere sometimes around you. People just don't want God, they say. But your impact is still making a difference to them. It's that clear. Yeah, and you guys both have come a long way, and you've been faithful. I've always admired you for your faithfulness in this church. You've been here for about 45 years or something, right? Who's not that old?
Thank you, Jill.
You are 45. You got grandkids, haven't you? Yeah. Yeah, your daughter is nearly 40, see? God has blessed you in different patches in your life. And there's so many little, as you said, irons in the fire. But there's an old, old adventure, an old investment, an old thing you did that's going to reawaken. That just didn't work then. There was no money then. But it's going to pay dividends now. You've always been generous, and I mean generous to God. But the two things that you have to change is that you don't stop short of getting the breakthrough. You've got to keep going, and not get tired. That is the one thing. And the second thing is when you listen to hear the Lord, keep going. Just keep going. If it's not working, find a different approach, but don't change what you're doing. Because you hear a lot. God, you've got no motivation for yourself. You have no ambition. It's all the things of the Lord inside of you. done a great job with your children. This is a season you'll see your children all flourish like trees planted next to water. That's God's promise. That's your biggest joy, and that's what God promises you. And your grandkids, from your own grandchildren will come rise a very powerful, very well-known preacher. From your own grandkids. Imagine that. Do you have any grandkids yet? Nine of them. Jeez. Abel's not even married yet. Right. There's the factory. All right. So who I spoke to you this morning, right? This gentleman with the glasses on his head.
You didn't speak to me this morning.
The lady, the gentleman next to you, did I speak to him?
No.
None of you? You were not here this morning?
Yeah, we were here.
What's your name?
Tammy.
And his name?
Robert Ray.
Robert?
His first name is Robert Ray.
Ray. Yeah. Makes complete sense. Robert Ray. That's what I want to call. If I was Robert, I want to call Ray.
My parents.
You know what they call me, don't you? My family call me Special Ed.
Oh, that's nice.
Because I'm special.
Yes.
I have shoes with my net with special on one side and Ed on the other. I really do. That's one of my grandkids did that to me. Yep. What do you do, Robert?
Well, at the moment, I'm restoring boats and yachts, but I was a 30-year engineer on ships, marine engineer.
Yeah, you'll always find a way. That's what the Lord's whispering in my ear. You'll always have a way. But you get pretty upset and frustrated. You get emotional about certain things and angry about things, and you've been done wrong a few times, and it gets you all going. You need to let it go, because nobody can take from you what's rightfully yours. So God wants you to release those that have done wrong to you. You've been betrayed. You've been stabbed in the back. But let it go. Let God bring joy back to your life. So the work that you're doing now is, as you said, only temporary. But from this will come a wonderful opportunity. Not back on the ships where you were before, but in a whole different thing that God's got planned for you. Because you are very smart and you're a problem solver. And someone is looking for you and they haven't connected with you yet. But they're looking for someone just like you. I don't know what an oil rig means to you, but I hear something like that. Visiting an oil rig sometimes. Are you his wife?
Yeah.
What's your name?
Tammy.
Where are you from, Tammy?
New Orleans.
New Orleans.
Yes.
The one city in this country you can't find a bad meal.
Right.
Can you cook like they do?
Sometimes, yeah. Sometimes I hit or miss.
I like you already. You know, way to a man's heart through his stomach, right?
Yes.
I'm all heart. You have children? Is it your kids?
Yes.
So are you shy with the little face girl, lady, pretty girl? What's your name?
Soleil.
Are you shy?
Yeah.
Why? Do you sing?
Yeah.
Because that's what God's got planned for you. Many girls want to be professional, but you will be. That's what God's planned for you. And your shyness is not going to help you. Just take the gigs that come your way, because they'll keep opening up doors. You're very gifted. You're very, very gifted. Right? It's funny how you get it. You're shy, but you're different behind a microphone and on the stage. You're a little different. You get a whole lot of different confidence. In fact, I see you in front of your mirror in your bedroom. It's like, whoa, who is that? Oh, Lord, she can perform. He's laughing. Your brother's laughing. He's seen that. He's like, that crazy sister of mine. But God has got music for you in your life. And your friends are messed up right now. You're going to have a whole lot of new friends as years go on. Just be patient, okay? Don't feel like you lost anything here. You've lost nothing. God's keeping you from the wrong people. You got it? Smile. Thank you. Sheesh. How old are you?
14.
How old are you, sir?
13.
13. 1 year younger. Does it get in your nerves? What do you want to be? Put it close to your mouth.
I don't really know.
Got nothing you like? She's talented, just a little lazy. You're very talented, a lot of ability, very smart. You have your dad's brains, because mom still has hers. So you're very smart. But you don't use them very much. Homework is your friend, not an enemy. Yeah. Can we do that? Schoolwork, homework, can we do that? Because you're very smart. There is, you have an engineering side like your dad, but I really believe what God has for you is the medical industry. It's very specialized in something in the medical industry. And so if you will be open to that, God will educate me, whether it's a pharmacist or whether it's a specialization or some kind of person in an emergency situation, he's got that stuff for you. You're very smart, very smart. A little lazy. Pick up that room too, Mr. The room is really messy. Ooh. Yeah. It's like things go to die in that room. And you're a blessing. You're a blessing. You had rejection growing up and stuff that happened to you. Nobody understood you, and it's been a funny journey your life. But this is the best and sweetest years of your life. This is what God promises, sweetest years, sweetest years. And you've always been a calming effect on him, because he can get upset about stuff. If he wants things to be right, and he gets frustrated because he keeps his word, it makes him mad when people don't keep their word. And because they waste his time, but you help to keep him calm. And every once in a while, you surprise him, because you always come across so soft and no, but then there's a time when you're that little strength he was rises up, and he knows that he needs to take it down a notch. But you're a wonderful family. You're a wonderful one. You guys come here to this church?
Yes.
Frequently, right?
Yes.
Every Sunday?
Years.
For years. Okay. I'll be watching for you next Sunday.
Okay.
On the camera. All right. Here's that voice again, coming to you live.
My name might be.
Yeah, I can hear that. What's your name behind them with the hair? Paula Dean, and you are, next to you is your friend?
Kay.
Who?
Kay.
Paula and Kay. And you buddies?
Yep, best friends.
Best friend, BFF.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so what do you do, Paula?
I own a day spa right now.
A day spa. Mm-hmm. You're also an overcomer. Your name means in heaven an overcomer, because you've overcome so many things in your life. You've had so many times that you could have sat down and cried and felt sorry for yourself, but you kept getting up. Mm-hmm. And God always made a way for you, and you always seem to come through, and God has always blessed you, always. You've always made a way. People have always used you. Mm-hmm. And you've let them, but now you're getting a little tough with that. But the Lord's got plans for you. I don't know what the day spa situation is, but business is definitely what God has blessed, called you to. And you will do well. You've learned so much. You're very smart at business. And so the COVID came and really shook everything, but it's all changing now, going back to a lot of fast speed stuff. So jump in and take what God has for you. The housing or the property market's going to come down a little bit, but it's going to jump right back up again. Don't be fooled by this. That's what I hear in the Spirit. It's going to go down for a while and then go up. And then it'll stay there. I just want you to know. So get when you can get what you need, right? It's a building you need. So what is your name again?
Kay.
Kay, and your last name is?
Smith.
Kay Smith. And you have children?
Yes.
How many?
Two boys.
And they are how old?
They just turned 22 and 21.
All right, so they live with you now?
One does.
All right, what's the oldest one's name?
Caleb.
Caleb, like Joshua and Caleb. Yeah, Caleb. Caleb's a good guy. He's a good man. Very upright heart, and he's always comes through and fixes things, and you can depend upon him. God has put his hand on Caleb, and he's grooming him. He's come through a disappointment, but it's going to be a big refreshing in his life. God will not fail him. And the next one's name is?
Michael.
Michael. Michael's strong-headed, stubborn about some things, and he can get on people's nerves. But he will change as time goes on. His life will teach him. He'll wring him out a few times because he knows everything and better, but it won't last long. This too shall pass. And God has spoken long life over you. You've seen too many sorrows and too many deaths. But God says, I'm going to give you long life. So be of good cheer. I've got life, but let it be devoted to him. It's that simple. Right? Go, girl. That's what I'm saying. Whew, I'm getting tired now. Tired, rode hard, and put up weight. What's your name?
Jerry.
Oh, Jerry? Just Jerry. So I said, oh, Jerry, or just Jerry? How about Jerry? And Jerry, are you married?
I am.
Do you know who to?
I do. Her name is Pam.
Pam! What I'm looking for, the intercessor lady?
Yeah.
That my team told me I must please say hi to Michelle and to Angelique and to Pam, wherever Pam is.
She's out of town.
Yeah, she just fled when I came. What do you do, sir?
Commercial landscaping.
Commercial landscaping. And you're in this church, right?
Sure.
Sure. Yep, sure. You are not functioning in the fullness of ability spiritually. Your wife does a lot, and she can do a lot. She's very fine. You're a good man. You're not a difficult man. You have your own little life and your own little patterns. You have little habits. You like everything in the same place. The chair mustn't move. Your crowner must be there. Your study paper must be there. Everything must be at its place. It's your nature. It's just like routine. But you have a lot to offer. And in your life, you went through a deep valley that slowed you down then, and you've never quite got up again to become one that will just want to live a peaceful life. But the truth is, God wants to use you. He wants to use you. He wants to use you because there was a prophetic edge in you years ago that God wants to rekindle again in your life. And it's going to be a helpful thing to your wife too, because the two of you will become a team prophetically again. That's what God wants. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. Are you bored? Hold that for a minute. Open this bottle. Get some fuel. That's it. I finished the other one, sorry. Thank you, Michelle, for getting me Pellegrino. Is that Cape Town up there? Cape Peninsula. Keep looking at it. Makes me homesick. It's Cape Point. Mm-hmm. Yep, that's where the two oceans meet, the Indian and the Atlantic. Right there on that screen. I don't know why they have it up there, but I like it. Who have I not ministered to, Pastor? A bit late for that now. We just about almost done everybody in the room. I spoke to you, and I've spoken to you, right? Yeah. I spoke to you. Josephus. Joseph. The main man. You married to Monique? Are you married to her legally? You married to her legally? Can you prove it?
I've got video.
Oh, that ring or the video doesn't do it. I want to see the paperwork. What do you do, sir?
Work in retail, store manager.
Store damager?
Manager.
Doing what kind of store is it?
Pool supply.
Pool supply. And I bet that's a good industry here in this place. Sure. Lots of pools. Pool supply. I hear the Lord's knocking on your door. You're a good man. And you embarked on this journey with marrying her and being here. And you had a lot of hope. You had a lot of good intentions, a lot of good ideas. And you're disappointed about so many things. The devil fed your little mind. And the thing of it is, you are such a good man in so many ways. And you have a history of disappointments throughout your life. That is the devil's trick in your life. The devil's plan or scheme is to keep you disappointed. Frustrated, disappointed. And you need to shake that off, because you're where God wants you to be. You were the woman God chose, and he wants to bless you. And you love her, but you've withdrawn or become, not lonely, is not the word, separate in some ways. And you have such a treasure on the inside. We need who you are. We need what you have. We need all the giftings and all those things. I don't know who's missing it. Hermano. Please. Por favor. I don't want to hear myself coming and going. So, Joseph, if I look at your life spiritually where you've been, it's been a lot of stuff. And this church didn't help for you, because it was a culmination of all those years. But I'm here to appeal to you, because you have such a treasure on the inside of you. So much good stuff. And we need it. We really don't get yourself so busy that you don't have time for us. You need to get into the things of God. You're a real dad. You're meant to be a dad to a lot of younger generation people. And that's what God wants for you. He wants you to be a dad. Monique is a very different personality. You never know what's going to happen next. I mean, talk about, she's an angel, but she can be a slob sometimes. I mean, just. But those things are so unimportant to the absolute high quality of honesty, integrity, loyalty. What she has such qualities. Don't let that be an issue for her. She's always looking for something. She's always lost something. It's her nature. But she's so dedicated and so sweet. She's what you need. She's what you need. You have a history of frustration, disappointments, and it's culminated here. Let's shake it off. Let's start afresh. because you're meant to be a dad here. You're meant to be a helper for so many young generations. You were born for this. You were actually born for a time like this here in this church. This is your family. God put you here. And for better or for worse, you're in it for the long haul. We're committed to you. You're going to be committed to us. We're in it for the together. We're in it together. Right? Monique has always been like that. You can't change it. She's very loyal. You're not going to change it. Like, she's going to have a messy car. She's going to not going to change that stuff. But she's gold. She's gold. My staff is very impressed with her. I don't know why, but they're just very impressed with her. Yeah. So thank you for being here, Joseph. Thank you. Please, we want you. We really want you. Scott, great Scott. Great Back to the Future. So you married Mr. Scott? I'm sorry, it's always hard to lose someone. Never a joke.
No, and Paula and Kay are two of my best friends. We're part of a widow group. We've all lost our spouses, us three. Hey, Paula and Kay, I see you down there.
No wonder I didn't.
We've been texting each other all day to be here tonight.
No wonder I didn't even talk about your husband, just your sons. Pretty strange, right? I didn't have nothing for your husband. Pretty strange. Okay, so what do you do for a living?
I'm a CEO of a nonprofit called Team Sports Ministries. I do character development through five high schools here in North Palm Beach County, high school football.
Yeah,
I was a pastor.
You're an interesting personality
years.
Too, because you've got the best motivation, but you irritate people. I'm not sure why it is. People get frustrated with you, but you are such a nice guy. I think it is an illusion of the devil that is setting you up to get people to get irritated with you, when in fact you have the heart of gold. Because if they would just listen to you, you would help them so much. You have no ulterior motive, because you are very on point. You always want things to be organized and right, and you come with great ideas and they get irritable with you. Instead of, say, embracing you, because you really have something to bless them with. So I come against that spirit that confuses the people. It's confusing. They're not hearing right, because you really are a good man of God. You really are. And they need you. They need you. So don't give up. Don't get tired. Even if they act like it, just be patient with them, because that devil is trying to blind them from who you are and what you've got to offer. Do you understand?
Thank you.
You're a good man. You really are a good man. There is someone that's kept a distance from you for some reason that ought not to. And God is not going to let that happen. He's going to wear them down so that there can be a closeness between you and that person.
Thank you.
All right. I'm glad you came today. You're a good man. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. God is good.
Yes, he is. God is good, and the devil can go to hell. But not you, Mr. Cartwright. Who else have we not spoken of? Then everybody. You made me work the whole crowd. Yeah, my guitarist. I'm coming to you. Are you part of the family? Whose child is it? You have a child? Look at that, too. What's your name, dude? You play the guitar, right? I watched you tonight for some reason. Oh, cool. What's your name? Maxel, Sark of Deutsch, Maxel heißt das auf Deutsch. How old are you? Wie alt bist du? 22, are you sure? You look about 15. I know I have the same problem. People don't believe I'm under 99. You shouldn't laugh that loud, that's not right. So what do you do, Max? You teach the guitar. Look at you. And where's mom and dad? And you live in Florida? Who moved from London? Who did? You don't sound English, fella. He's what? He's not Cockney, is he? Now you're coming through with that little Englishy accent, you. Which part of England do you come from? In Twickenham. That should be painful. So what do you want to do with your life? Yeah. Okay, pretty happy here? You've got a very pure heart. I hate to be the one to tell you this. You may be enjoying the guitar, but there's a call of God in your life. God didn't just send you to this church to play guitar only. He wants you to be discipled here, to grow, because he's got plans for you ministerially. something happened in your late teens that really touched the heart of the Lord. Something you did, and just a very good heart, you know. There are things that people do that go into the book of remembrance that touch the heart of God, and you really move the Lord. And he wants to bless you and take care of you. Now, your family don't get you. They think you're a little crazy. But this is only a tool of the journey God has for you. Guitaring is good. And you'll always be involved in music of some kind. But the work of the Lord is what's calling you. Got it? Dude. And you dating someone? What's her name?
Sarah.
And where is Sarah today?
So she runs a restaurant.
She runs a restaurant. Look at that big smile on your face. It's like he's in love or something. Sarah. Does she come to this church? Why not? Well, can you ask? Really? Could you ask her to come? Tell her the prophet said I would call a God in my life. Do you still want to marry me? Tell him he's warned her because she needs to have the disclaimer. But she doesn't have to shock later. I don't want to marry a preacher. Yeah, you've got a real heart for people. People love you. Wherever you go, you can go to the mall and there's people in front of you and people will stop to serve you first. It's the funniest thing because the favor of God's in your life. It works everywhere you go. Just things just happen in the parking. Just strange stuff. God always makes a way for you. And that's because he's nudging you in the right direction spiritually, right? That's what I'm saying. Man with a mask, what's your name? Yeah. Jared. Okay, and are you in this church, Jared? You like it here?
Yes, sir.
I'm glad. What do you do, sir?
I work at a grocery store and I'm also an artist.
What kind of artist?
Draw
and paint and so on. There's a lot of healing in your life. There's stuff that's been happening in your family that injured your soul. There are things that you try to block out because it really was very hurtful. You were a victim in every way. And I'm going to tell you that God will not leave you unhealed and untouched. He's committed to you for the long haul. Do you understand? That's why you've been sitting here, because God cares too much for you. Working in a grocery store and you're a hard worker, you're not lazy. You keep a lot of yourself to yourself. But God wants to change that because you've been hurt by so many friendships already. And the Lord's changing all that. But you're very gifted, not only in art, but you have gifting in music. You have so much other gifting too, just gifted. And everything you touch is blessed. And it's been a lonely journey for you that God wants to change. He doesn't want you to be alone. He wants you to have friends and people around you and take good care of you. Got it? Dude, like totally. Nadine. How old are you now, Nadine? 37. You all know she has a brother. He preaches down towards Miami. And I've known these people that when he was a toddler on a little plastic motorcycle on a tennis court. I've known them a long, long time. In fact, I know them before Pastor Steve had a younger sister that got killed in a car wreck. I was there that night when she was killed, actually. And I don't know what year that was. That's a long time. 27 years? Are you 10 years old? But I remember these little kids. They were a busy bunch. Oh, my goodness, they were a busy bunch. Just not quiet. And Pastor Steve always wanted me to preach in his church, and I had to stay asleep in his waterbed. And that thing broke with us on it. It was awful. No, you wore it down and gave me the leftovers. Who sleeps in a waterbed? How do you sleep? It keeps moving. Like, it's really strange. Nadine, I know you told me today that you are in this traveling nursing thing, but something big is coming your way too. You have a skill to lead and responsible. There is a stable job that's going to offer you not just nursing, but position of authority of some kind. I don't know why it is that where you work, they didn't appreciate you seemingly, but you have very good reports about you. Your name is good. The people know who you are. And there are certain doctors that were there before that have moved, and they're looking for you. They want you. It's the strangest thing. So there's something that God is stirring up for your life, and because you're such a dependable person. You used to be late a few times, but you always were there. You're always on time. You're always there, always there. And that's what really touched people, that could depend upon you. You'd get the job done.
and you didn't get emotional. Some of those nurses were very emotional and crazy. You just never did that. And that touched the doctors and some of that staff there. I just want you to know. So God's got something planned. Weston. You're going to push me to the very end, aren't you? Weston. All right. Mr. Cartwright. You left your stamp on all of them. They all look the same. Weston, you're 34, you told me, right? And you have two children. You said seven, right? Seven? And eight. And they're running around, you said, somewhere. I haven't seen them. And your wife? What's your wife's name? Melissa. You brought your kids and not your wife? Does she come to church? You have to drag her? You might have to drag her. Well, I'm glad that you're here, though, because you belong here. You can act tough, but you really got the heart of kind, gentle. You know, sometimes your difficulty is you don't communicate, you'll shut down. The more tense you get, the less you talk. You're not a big talker anyway, but you just don't want to communicate. Your body communicates better, but you have a heart, a really heart of gold. There's no guile, there's no evil, there's no meanness or anything else, you know, ulterior motives. You just got a pure heart, and God sees that. He knows that. You're not proud of all the things you did, normal young things. David prayed, "Do not remember the sins of my youth," because he did a lot of stupid things as a kid. And so God must tell you to shake all the things you did off, because he's shaking it off. He wants you to do that too. I'm not sure what you do for a living, but you are living on the edge, about to go higher. God's going to open up doors for you, because you're faithful in your hard work. You're very predictable. Even the food you eat, everything is so predictable. We know exactly where you want to go, because you're just routined and it's not complicated. And you're a good man, and your wife doesn't really, you're married to her how long, but she doesn't really know you. She knows some things about you, doesn't really know who you are, but there's a lot of depth there too. And there's a lot of writing coming in latter years of your life. You write books, there's a lot of depth in you. God wants you better communicate on paper than you are with words. It's that simple. It's my grandchild. She's annoying. One of my twins. All right. Always checking on me. She feels like she's my mother. She's got to check it. Do you take your vitamins, Grandpa? Are the people wearing you down? She just had leg surgery. Her leg is shorter than the other. She's had this strange operation. They put a magnet and they stretch her leg. It's very odd. They put a whole steel pin in it. It's quite something. Okay, so getting back to you. Tell me your kids' names. Rain and Glory? Who gave them that name? Rain is, how do you spell it?
R-A-Y-N.
Ah. How old is Rain?
Seven.
Does he like guitar yet?
Piano.
Yeah, she's good. There's a whole lot of country music coming out of your house. Country. And I don't like country. I just don't. It all sounds like someone's died, someone left. It's always a miserable, depressing. They all sound the same. You can have him, Jolene. Yeah, but there's country music coming out of you, and really well gifted child, Ray, whatever her name is. And then, what's the other one's name? Glory. Is that a boy or a girl? Just checking, was it two girls? Are you planning any more kids? Okay. You like them? I'd go home. So, Glory's got a strong will, and she's going to get where she wants to go. She'll find a way to get where she wants to go. Little things bother her, which shouldn't really bother, but it's all just stages. She'll grow out of that. There's no question. But the younger one will have the music, and the older one will be the leader. There's no question. God's going to do that through them. You've got wonderful kids. Your wife is not settled. There's something bothering her. She's not settled. There's something that's making her unrestful. You can't walk that journey for her. She'll find it. She's smart enough to find her way. Got it? Dude, totally. Good bass you played. What? I'm almost done with this. I'm good. That's everybody, but Pastor. Louie! No, I spoke to him. Oh, Lord knows I spoke to him. Did I speak to you? Oh, The fella with the hair. What's your name, dude?
Justin.
Justin, how old are you?
11.
Are you married?
No.
Isn't he emotional? No. What do you want to be when you grow up? An adult? A typical American. Okay. Rashakabasanda. That a lot of prayer has gone into over your life. People have sometimes prayed for you a whole lot. And you haven't found your direction yet. You've got a little bit of sport in you, gifted in sport, and you like that a lot. But anything you just decide to do, determined to do, you will not stop until you've got where you're going. I wish you'd get that same zeal for school. That would help a whole lot. But you'd like the sport a whole lot more. Fortunately, you're not one of those computer kids. It's really very exhausting to me. But you're not that kid. You're the sportman. And you're not needy. Kids don't have to like you. You don't care. They're going to eventually follow you. That's what's going to happen. Because you're a leader. You're an overcomer. You're a go-get-em. You're determined. And God, you have strength inside of you. Right? All right. Thank you, sir. Now you've got to let me go.
Praise God. Well, before we do let you go, we want to, the Bible says, I don't have my scripture up there. Can you put it on the screen, please? Thank you, Miguel. Thank you so much, Miguel. What a blessing Miguel is to us. Gosh, give me 100 Miguels. The scripture says in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 14, the Lord, in the same way the Lord ordered, say the Lord ordered, that those who preach the good news should be supported by those who benefit from it. Now, did Ed preach good news tonight? Did we benefit from it? So should we support him? Yeah. 3 John says this, dear friend, you are being faithful to God when you care for the traveling teachers who pass through, even though they are strangers to you. They have told the church here of your loving friendship. Please continue providing for such teachers in a manner that pleases God. So that means that we could provide in a manner that is not pleasing to God. It says, for they are traveling for the Lord, they accept nothing from people who are not believers, so we ourselves should support them so that we can be partners as they teach the truth. So the scripture is very clear. Those who preach the gospel should live from the gospel. I put this thing on Facebook promoting the Ed Trout services. And someone I don't know commented, oh, I bet he's going to come and squeeze money out the people. You know, he's going to come and squeeze the money. No, he ain't squeezing anything because we willingly give. a Christian. It's got to be a Christian, you know. So the scripture makes it very clear that God expects us. If the Bible says if we receive spiritual things, we are supposed to give back of our material things. This is how we support Ed's ministry. And not only do we support him, but we become a partner with him. And that's even more exciting because what that means is whatever God does through Ed's ministry and whatever lives are touched, when you give and support him, you become a partner with him. So I may not travel everywhere Ed goes, but because I'm sowing and supporting his ministry, God puts it to my credit. I'm partnering with Ed Trout wherever he may go. Amen. So we want to be a blessing to Ed Trout. The giving hasn't been that good this weekend, but I'm trusting that something's going to happen tonight because we sure want to be a blessing to him. And Ed has no expectation, doesn't ask for anything. But you understand, we had to fly him here from Texas, put him in a hotel. He didn't want to sleep on my patio. So we had to put him in a hotel. We've had to feed him. The guy eats like every night, you know, every day. This all takes money. You know, people walk into church like this, and then they don't want you to say anything about money. Oh, that church, they just want my money. But they want all the benefits and the blessings of it, but don't talk about money. Tell it like it is. That's what I do best. So we are going to give to Ed Trout. We so appreciate him. And what great soil to sow into. Amen. And he's been telling us how he goes to churches that are tiny, and they give him pitiful offerings, but trust God, and God provides. And he'll give $10,000 here to help this person, and the next thing he gets a check for $100,000. So it's not dependent on us. He's dependent on God. But we want to do what the Lord wants us to do. And all you got to do is say, Lord, what do you want me to do? And just do what God tells you. Amen. Remember how to spell thousand, thousand. Remember that. You can give on our app. You can give on ascendchurch.us. There's a place where it says Prophet Ed Trout. Correct? Amen. Wonderful. Well, I thought tonight was the best one. Saturday was great. Sunday morning was great. But isn't it funny that because tonight the teaching was phenomenal. And then every single person just about got a prophecy. Gosh. And Jerry? Gosh. I think it was good that Pam wasn't here. Just for this weekend. Because the Lord, man, that was so right on. She's going to be excited to hear about it, though. Praise God. Lord, we want to thank you that you are so good and you are so faithful. And I pray, Lord, that the truths that have come through tonight, through your servant Ed Trout, I pray that they will just find a resting place in our heart, that we will not let go of these things, but that we will pursue you, that we will put you first, and that we will develop a close relationship with you, Lord. I know that more than anything else, you want to have a relationship with us. And I thank you, Father, as we go out of here, I pray that we step into a new level of our relationship with you. And I thank you, Lord, for every word that has been spoken. And we receive it from you. And I thank you that you have good plans for our life, Lord. I thank you this week, Lord, that you guide us. Holy Spirit, you direct our path, direct our footsteps, protect us, provide for us. Lord, use us to be a blessing to others. Use us to bring other people to Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you, folks. Thank you so much for staying like this. We'll see you on Sunday. Looking forward to it. Please bring someone, invite someone. We're going to have a great time next Sunday. Have a great week. We'll see you next time.